Welcome to another episode of Roll or Die. I think it's fairly clear that we are keen to grow our audience all over Australia. And while the majority of our listeners perhaps are in the eastern state, we are very keen to grow it across the whole country. And that is why we have for you today's guest. He is probably one of the biggest names on the Perth scene. He's the he's the head coach of Guardians. He's an owner of Notorious Combat Bags, and he is the head promoter of Battleground. So if you don't know what any of those things are, you are definitely going to know by the end of this podcast. And thanks very much for joining us, George Garley.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you.
Awesome. Actually, George, I was just having a look, and I'll share my screen shortly, but the Battleground, in fact, no, I'm just going to share my screen right now because I was just on the Battleground website just doing a little bit of due diligence, and it just looks like a really professional setup, man. It reminds me of Boa, when we have Boa here in Melbourne. You've got that stage where grapplers can go flying off the edge while they're in their heel hook rolls and all that sort of stuff. But it looks great, man. You've got some great names on here. Talk a bit about let's get straight into talking about Battleground.
Absolutely. First of all, thank you guys for having me on. It's an absolute pleasure to be on with you guys. And when Battleground started, so we started Battleground during COVID of 2021. My memory is pretty bad, but it was 2021. And one of the main reasons why we started, I've always had the thought of wanting to create an event in Perth that is similar to that of the eastern states. You know, we have Bora that's in Melbourne. You have some version in Sydney. You've got there's other events that are around. You know, you have the M16 challenge in Adelaide. So we really wanted to create something in Perth because, one, I felt that Perth, we were a bit far from everyone. So sometimes getting our athletes to compete, it does cost them a lot. And myself, I've competed on a few super fight events as well, and you know, it's been quite a lot out of my pocket. Just purely coming from Perth and the expense that it costs. So we wanted to create something that would have the same value and the same professional standards as those of our colleagues in the eastern states. So that's where we started Battleground One. I was meant to be fighting on another super fight event that was in Perth that didn't work out due to some other personal reasons, and because pretty much I had done the camp. So I thought it would be a good idea for me and the gentleman that I was meant to fight to just fight at my gym, and we'll just record it. And then, you know, we can make something out of it instead of putting a camp to place. So, when that happened, in the process of doing that, this pretty much how Battleground was formed. In the process of doing that, I saw the potential that, we had, to create something much bigger than myself fighting in the gym versus another guy. So me and the team, we sat down, we decided to, you know, bite the bullet. We decided to bite the bullet and try and create something big. And obviously over the last few years, it's become something that's quite good. So
that is amazing. Wow, you're blowing my mind.
So how many have you done so far, George?
We've only done 4 events.
Four just happened in September.
So we are quite a baby event in terms of like the grand scheme of things. Our first event was more of a mock event, which was done at our gym, and we had the settings just to try out to see how the response from the community would be. And we receive an amazing response from the community. You know, I think a lot of people in Perth really felt that we needed something to represent, one, the Perth athletes, to put them on the map as well, to show that we do have some talent in here because we're so far away in that essence. So the first one was at the gym. So and then after that, we decided to take it to the big stage and really make it something phenomenal. So it's only our 4th event. We're quite new to it. There's a lot to learn. We're still learning a lot, but I think we're on the right path.
What's like when you say there's a lot to learn, like what are some of the lessons that have surprised you along the way here? Could be for better or for worse, but what has blown your mind on that journey?
I think what surprises us the most is the process of planning, and you have the vision of what the event's going to be like, and then what surprises you the most is the amount of work, the amount of effort that's required. Mm-hmm. For me, I mainly deal with the athletes and the promotion side of things for the event, and I just thought it was like, hey, we'll get this guy to fight this guy and it'll all be done. But then there's organizing the photo shoots. There's a lot of stuff like, fighters pay, making sure the fighters are replying to me, making sure they're making weight and what's not. And then there's other like, admin stuff behind the scenes that it takes away a lot of my personal time. And I think like anyone starting a business, your perception of what it's going to be versus what it is very different. And once you jump into the flame, you're like, oh, this is quite different than what I thought. But we're doing a great job. The team, we've got our heads high. We're going strong. And the most rewarding part is once every event's finished, we see like the joy on people's face. People enjoy the event, and like the athletes enjoy the experience that they had, and it makes it all worth all the headaches and pain. So yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant.
Is that because the fighters are sort of prima donnas, or why are they? Are they difficult?
I don't know. I think they're gonna kill me. I'm gonna get bashed.
I definitely know some are. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think I do speak to a lot of promoters. I take quite a few inspiration from Ben from Eternal MMA. They've done a great promotion with what Eternal has become from what it was about 10 years ago. So one thing we do learn about jiu-jitsu athletes, they are a bit of prima donnas, but it's understanding, they do have a worth of what they are, but then there are some athletes that should not be requesting what they request. But I think that's the part where as a promoter, I have to try and negotiate with them and, try and give them a reality check. So, yeah.
It's interesting. What kind of things, is it all about money, or do they request things that are like, is it like, I need 23 Tim Tams and I need a person, waving air in my face that's been captured at the top of Mount Everest?
I think it's all about perception and perspective based, because obviously, like with Battleground, I pride myself in saying we've done a really great job in the presentation of what we do from our social media, we've got a standard where none of our athletes send us pictures of themselves. We pay for them to get their photos done professionally. And we have a certain criteria that we require with everything that we do. So the standards in which we present is very high. And then once people see the production value that we present, obviously once they see the production value that we give, obviously they think that we are maybe in like alongside like the top events in the world, in regards to the quality that we present. So I do understand from that point of view as an athlete myself, seeing that, I'll be like, hey, these guys must have money. They must be making a lot. So I want to ask for X amount. But I think what they're also forgetting is like the guys that run Battleground, there's three of us, we all have multiple jobs and we don't sleep and we work nonstop to create what we create. And I think that is an attribute to the production itself. So yeah, I think it's just sitting with the athletes and just trying to have a chat with them to come to a good understanding that, sometimes we have to give in order to receive, if that makes sense. If we're going to give you a top-notch production like Battleground and get the world's attention on the event in Australia, sometimes we have to sacrifice a little bit. So I think some athletes do understand, all the athletes that we've had on our events have never complained or not in front of my face anyway, but it's always been great reception for them from the moment, they do the weigh-in, from the moment they rock up to the event, they're amazed by how professionally everything is ran. And
great.
It's very, jiu-jitsu is at a funny point now, isn't it, where it's sort of like becoming professional, but then it's really still mostly amateurs, isn't it? There's still only just a tiny bit of the professionalism, like in terms of people getting paid, full-time athletes. I don't know about over there, but here on the Eastern Coast,
Yeah, absolutely.
Now
I
they're
think,
fully professional.
in terms of I think Australia has entered the phase of a professional super fight phase where, there's more of these events around the country, which is really good. The more of these events we have, the better opportunity our athletes have to get eyes on them, and it just makes it better for the country overall. And, so that's really good to see. And we're still a baby in terms of like running super fight show as a country. And I think as a country collectively, we're doing a great job in with catching up to like the likes of Polaris, the likes of Grapplefest, the likes of Who's Number One in terms of the production side of things. And the more we grow, the more, the more we can give to our athletes as well. So I think we're all in the early stages, and the more we can work together, the better it will be for Australia Jiu-Jitsu overall. So
Awesome,
yeah.
man. And I'd love to, if we can change gears a bit, find out a bit about your jiu-jitsu journey, man. Like what, how long have you been training for? How did you start? What, how did you fall in love with jiu-jitsu? Do you still love jiu-jitsu?
Often tell my students I hate jiu-jitsu during the promotion of Battleground because everything I think about is jiu-jitsu non-stop. So after Battleground, I normally like to lock myself in a dark room and just like not think about anything. I started jiu-jitsu about 10 years ago. It would have been longer, but life got in the way. So when I was about 14, I got bullied in school, actually, where it was a typical Karate Kid story. I got bullied in school because I had a bit of a big mouth, and I got beat up. And then one of my good friends, Jamie Hunt, suggested that I should try jiu-jitsu. And I was purely trying jiu-jitsu for the purpose of revenge. I wasn't trying to like make it a lifestyle or anything. I wanted to go there, learn some stuff, and come back and beat up the bullies. And I fell in love with it. Did my first competition. At that time, my mom, she wasn't really fond of the violence that jiu-jitsu had, so to say. And she said, like, you gotta stop doing this, man. So I stopped until I was 18, and then once I turned 18, I jumped right back into it again. And since then, I've never looked back. But yeah, it's changed my life. Obviously, as you guys will probably testify the same as well. It's brought good lifestyle, a good lifestyle habit to me. It's created a good form of motivation for me as well. And I really don't know what I would be doing about jiu-jitsu right now, to be honest. So yeah.
Awesome, man.
And tell us about Guardians. So you're the head coach there. How did that
Yeah.
come about?
So Guardians, we've been running for a couple of years now. I started teaching at an old gym that I was at as a kids instructor. And when it was a fitness gym, so it wasn't really a jiu-jitsu gym. And at that time, they weren't doing very well with the numbers, so they wanted to shut down the program. So I decided just to take over the kids' classes as our own. And pretty much from there, we grew into what Guardians is now. So we started teaching kids, and then we put on the adults classes, and then one thing led to another. We became a proper gym, and we've been going strong since ever since. So yeah, it's really awesome perspective being a coach, because I spend most of my time as an athlete as well, competing. Being a coach, it really changes your perspective, and it deepens your love for the sport more. So.
How do you navigate when kids come to you and they want to learn jiu-jitsu for revenge? Like, what do you tell them?
Come to me. No, that was when I was 14. Obviously, as time goes, as you age and you gain some sort of wisdom, you figure out revenge is not really the answer to anything. So we really try to we lead them in a path that doesn't require revenge as much. But obviously, if the time comes for any sort of action, we hope we prepare them enough.
Amazing. And tell us
But
about
I do still every now and then I do still like try and Facebook my bully's name to see if they're still around. I haven't been able to find them
me
yet, but
too. Me
yeah.
too.
Every now
Am
and then I'm like, I wonder what they're doing with their
I
life. You know,
living
I'm
a
just
better life than my bully?
pretty much, pretty much.
Me
If
too.
they're living a better life than me, then I'll rob their house or something. I don't know.
And George, tell us about Notorious Combat Bags. What brought that about?
Yeah, so the first combat bag, we were just we're always trying to be innovative in a sense. And I was sitting with one of my good friends, and we were thinking that, you know, there's a lot of jujitsu backpacks that are out there, but most of them are pretty much just copied from one backpack to another, and they all just tack the logos on it. And there's no real intent behind the purpose of the bag. Most of the time, it's apparel companies just adding it as an add-on. So we really wanted to create a specific company that's dedicated to jiu-jitsu and martial art backpacks. So that's pretty much where it started. We sat down together, and we pretty much got the idea of, like, if I was training, what would I want in my backpack? You know, what would I want as a jiu-jitsu athlete? And then we created the Notorious Combat brand like that. So it's going good. It's doing really great. We're mostly selling in America at the moment, so we will be returning back to Australia. We're selling backpacks, and next year we will be releasing our duffel range. So definitely keep an eye out for that. They're great bags, and they're really good.
That's we'll so put cool. that in the show notes. Yeah, we'll put the link for it so our listeners can maybe have a look to order.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Man, I'm trying to think of something funny to say about, you know, like something that grapplers always need to have. Nothing's coming to mind. It will come later. But one thing, which is this bag? This is not meant to be funny now. But is this bag targeted towards like no gi grapplers or gi grapplers or the full grappler, or do you have different ranges? For different styles of grappler?
Right now, we've only got one range that's out, and it's more targeted to both gi and no gi grapplers. One of the good... Actually, I'll bring the bag out for you, okay? Just give me a moment. I'll show you guys the bag.
This is where people want to be watching our show rather than just listening to it, right. Because they'll get the visual
Let's workshop some funny things that has the bag pockets for. How about... edibles. There's a good pocket for their edibles.
Edible bags. let me see. How do I change my settings? Because it's got the blurred background.
You get the camera. Next to the triangle back. Next to the camera, and you go choose
background and have none.
Okay. Let me try that. Because I've got it on my phone.
Yeah.
Oopsie.
The little arrow.
Oh, yeah. You can still see it anyway.
It's nice.
So, yeah, this is the backpack. It's got some stuff in it at the moment. But one thing that, like, I really wanted, I find it a lot of the time, like, when people open up their backpack, say you've got, like, your gis and stuff in here, and you got to reach down to the bottom of the backpack. It was quite annoying because you have to pull out all your stuff. Yeah. So we created another opening on here. So pretty much you can flip the bag over and open it like as if it was a duffel, where it's got the opening here where you can sort of like reach in and grab your stuff. So that saves you a lot of trouble. And it's got a lot of pockets in there as well that you can utilize. It's a pretty nice backpack. It's simplistic as well. We didn't want a lot of juicy backpacks, people know you're a fighter, and like sometimes, like, you know, you want to be a bit discreet when you're out in public, unless you're one of the guys that wear a tap out shirt.
I used to be that guy. There's photos of me wearing tap out gear, and it's so funny to see. I just lose it every time I see myself in tap out gear.
You're like, oh my gosh, that's me. Yeah. So pretty much, like, you know, I hated being in public with a backpack that made everyone know that, like, this guy fights, you know? So the good thing about this backpack is it's very discreet. You would not know this is a combat backpack at all, you know? So that's a good thing. It's got a wet compartment on the bottom as well that you can put your dirty gear stuff in.
Wow.
So it's really good for this. Work training commute.
Yeah, so where is the edibles pocket, man? There's got to be an edibles pocket. There's got to be a finger tape pocket.
And a mouth guard pocket.
Edible pocket is this secret here, right here, mate. You can just chuck your stuff in here.
Yeah,
and nobody would know because it's on your back.
Steroids pocket? We need a steroids pocket. There's absolutely in the scene right now. They're all the rage. You've got to be juiced.
we haven't developed that yet, but that's a great avenue to take so nobody gets caught.
For the ex tap out wearers, I recommend like grips, like lapels or something on the bag, so you can grip it. You can practice your grips while you're on the train, whatever. Yeah.
But just
That might
grateful
get
that
you
nobody
into a
knows
fight.
from the outside of the friends.
What's he gripping?
I love that. That's a cool bag. I'm gonna buy one. Please put me down for one, man. I don't know how I buy them, but I'm
Absolutely.
gonna buy one.
We'll send you guys some. We'll send you guys some.
Amazing.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Amazing. Wow. Okay. Well, there's so much more that we could talk about. When's the next Battleground event?
So we've got our next event coming up on the 2nd of March. That's going to be Battleground 5. We've got some big plans for that one. So we're excited. We're excited. The boys have just started working on it again. The nightmare of promoting is about to start, but we're ready for it, and Battleground 5 is going to be something. It's going to be something next level. So definitely I would encourage anyone that's over east, that's in Melbourne, Sydney, Queensland, that hasn't seen Battleground before, jump and watch it. There's something great happening on our end of Australia, and we can't wait. We can't wait to put our athletes on the map. We can't wait to showcase the jiu-jitsu that Australia has to offer alongside all the other events as well.
That's
Yeah, you
awesome.
were talking before we started recording about the difference between the eastern states and WA's scene, but can you tell us a little bit about the Perth scene? Because from what I know of it, there's some amazing grapplers over there in Perth.
We have some amazing grapplers in Perth. I think like that was one of the main issues we wanted to tackle. Battleground overall is Australia's event, because we do want to be inclusive to like the whole country and give everyone an equal opportunity as well. But I think in terms of like athletes traveling and the expenses that it costs, it does cost the Perth athletes a lot to end up on shows like Subversion, shows like Boer, M16, if they're paying for the flights, or if they're on the lower end of the brackets. So we really wanted to be able to give the guys in Perth a chance to be on an event just as big as any of the other events in Australia, so that's pretty much what the aim was in the beginning. And the amount of talents we have in Perth, I think if you watched some of the events, you'll see the talents that we have. Obviously the card is filled more with guys in Perth, but yeah, it's just an opportunity to showcase those guys' talents as well, and also give them a chance to be seen and get invited to some of the bigger promotions as well, the thing is, like the big promotions over east, if they don't see these guys, it's going to be hard for them to gauge whether to have them on the events or not. So I think Battleground has that avenue to give that opportunity to the fighters here as well.
I've got a question, which like I don't know, like you can answer this any way you want to, but for me, the thought of putting on a big event, I have instant anxiety just of selling tickets. Getting people to come to an event, is hard. Like that first ticket sale, how much do you spend on promotion? I'm not asking how much you spend, but like trying to find the balancing act of these things must be just really intense, man. But how do you keep yourself
It's
motivated through that and deal with the anxiety that's around putting on an event like this?
I think what we've learned is that jiu-jitsu is a very niche sport, and what we've learned is like the audience, the fans, they really love like jiu-jitsu practitioners really love jiu-jitsu, and they will come and support. And I think that's where that's where you put value into the production as well. If the production has a great value, people will come. Like for some people, it's an opportunity to catch up with their friends who do jiu-jitsu and watch amazing matches. I just think that the anxiety factor, I think it always hits, because we have created like something out of nothing, and it's the fear of, man, are we legit, or are we, legit, or do we look like idiots? Like,
Are we
what do like
imposters?
the
The
others?
old imposter
Yeah,
syndrome.
pretty much. You do feel that imposter syndrome, and I think it really hit me hard in at the end of 2021 when we were about to put on Battleground 2, and because COVID was happening, it was so much headaches trying to get people from other states to come to Perth. There was other issues that were also happening in the background. And for a moment there, I think I spent like a week just thinking, like, is this really something we can do, or are we just digging a hole for ourselves, or are we going to be like the laughing stock of Australia if this doesn't go well, there is that anxiety factor, will people support us, are we going to keep up to the standards of the other shows, or are we just creating a fake hype, and then once the event happens, they're like, oh, this is pretty crap. you know, you wasted our money for nothing. So
like the Fyre there was always documentary that on Netflix. What that?
literally, it was like, you know, it was nerve wracking, you know. And sometimes it's also hard to talk to other promoters and like get their point of view of stuff. You know, some of the promoters we spoke to are really friendly, but it's just really hard to. It's a strange environment. It's a strange environment. You know, it's very similar to entrepreneurship. You don't really know what you're in for. You're just jumping in and hoping that it pulls off. And yeah, but I do have to give credit to our team. You know, from Tom. Tom does most of the graphic and marketing side of things, and then Manny, he does the production side of things. And these guys are one of the hardest workers in Australia you'll come across. You know,
are they grapplers as well?
Yeah, man, they're grapplers, so it makes life easy. You know, it makes life easy. Manny's a blue belt, Tom is a purple belt. So like, you know, they're one of the hardest workers, and once they like put their, you know, pen to paper, they really get the job done. And it's a really great combination we do have on the team. They really do a great job.
Become prima donnas until they become black belts. That's what happens. That's when they. That's
yeah,
when they
yeah, pretty much. Prima donna. Pretty much.
Up to pretty then, much. Work really pretty hard. Much.
Pretty much, man. We've dealt with some grapplers, man, and their requests. Like, I understand where they're coming from, but it's also like, you know, like you get grapplers who ask for like ridiculous amount of money, yeah. And you're like, mate, like as a promoter, I'm not even making anything close to anything from the event, you know. So they'll ask for a ridiculous amount of money with zero following, you know, zero promotional skills.
That's
you know. So
That's the same problem with Kim. Funny, I mean, Kim is the biggest prima donna you've ever met. She doesn't get out of bed for less than 10 grand. She refuses to do this show unless everything's perfect. Yeah, you know, goddamn black belt.
Please excuse my ignorance, and I hope I'm not going to put my foot in my mouth, but because there are quite a few shows, and I watch most of them. You know, I stream them. Was Kendall Roosting on? Was she commentating on your show?
Yeah, we had Kendall on Battleground 3. Yeah, she did a great job.
How did she secure that too, if I can ask?
Well, because we were originally planning to have her compete on Battleground against a well-known Aussie athlete. I won't spill the name out because there's a potential for a future matchup there. But because she was on her recovery from her knee injury from ADCC, so we were on the right track, but unfortunately, due to some circumstances, it just wasn't enough time for her to compete on the show. So she asked if she could commentate, and I was like, hell yeah, Kendall, you can commentate. So you know, so she did an amazing job, you know. It was really good having her down, because obviously she's been on some of the best promotions in the world, and just getting her perspective of how like things are run. And just hearing the feedback from her, it was really helpful for the team. So she's cool, and like we definitely want to have her back again to compete this time. So we'll see how the ball plays out for the timetable in Australia and her timetable, and hopefully we can get her on in the future.
Yeah, amazing.
Awesome. Well, maybe we can get her. Maybe what we can do as well, because we've got a decent following nowadays. But maybe if we can, maybe we could pre-interview some of your athletes before Battleground. Do some amp up stuff. You know, like do that.
Promotes
your show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that would be awesome, man. You know, we're trying to do the best we can for the athletes. We really do want to put the athletes first. You know, like coming from an athlete myself, I've spent some time competing, and I think it really helps that I've done that and I've been on a few shows. So I can wear their shoes as well and see where they're coming from in terms of things they need. And, you know, that's why, like, we make sure that every athlete that's on our show, they look as professional as possible from the photo shoots, from everything. They look like they're superstars. And, you know, feedback we get from the athletes, they do feel like superstars on the show as well. So, so I hope we're doing the right thing for the athletes in Australia as well. So,
what are you looking for when you're doing a matchup? Are you looking for kind of like a clash of styles? Are you looking at like their past, if they've faced each other before? Like, how do you match them up?
Well, there's a few aspects that you've got to put into place as well, because obviously these events, they do cost a lot. So when we're having athletes on, especially if you're going to be getting you know, pay the big bucks or getting get be on the top of the card. You know, there's got to be one, obviously, clash of style. There's got to be personality aspect as well, skills as well, attributes as well, and your ability to promote. You know, I think sometimes you get a lot of athletes that have won like big, big events, but they cannot promote at all. And then the thing is, after the events, we always look back at the stats of each athlete and see like what athletes brought in. So it's a really good wake up call. Sometimes, you know, from a promoter perspective, I will see an athlete like, oh man, this guy's got like a great following, and then they'll be on the event and there'll be nothing from them. You know, so there's that aspect of things that we do require. But overall, you know, as the promotion, as the battleground, the promotion itself, we do have the capability to create that hype for athletes. So we can create that hype and we can create the storyline, and pretty much, yeah, pretty much. It's just important to as an athlete to have something to offer as well. That's very important. It's see it as more of a relationship than anything. You know, if you can't offer anything in a relationship, it's going to be pretty hard for the relationship to prosper. So yeah,
I was thinking about that. Do you think that there's a different style of competing jiu-jitsu for entertainment purposes versus like IBJJF rules, for example? Like, because I find that a lot of the IBJJF matches, they kind of tend to stall out, but you don't want stalling out in a, you know, in an event like this. You obviously just go for it, like fully self-express, just cartwheel, guard passing, backflips.
Pretty much. We want the crowds off their seats, you know, like when I'm watching, like I become such a fan when I'm watching the matches. I'm like, oh my God. I'm getting my camera out recording and they're like, dude, you're the promoter. Calm down. I'm like, oh my God, it's so cool.
You're fanning out on your own promotion. Yeah. I like that. Getting high on your own supply, man. Like,
oh my God, awesome. He's coming on stage. yeah, pretty much. I think for us, that's something cool to have.
Oh,
he's gone.
I think he answered a phone call. I think he tried to block a phone call.
I think he did. Oh,
he should be back. He'll be back to say goodbye. What a good amazing guest. Hey.
I was just going to ask him if he comes back and if we have time to ask him one more question about the stream, because I think I mentioned it on another podcast too. But
yes.
For me, one of my biggest bugbears with these events, especially if you're not there watching it live, is those streams. Because, oh my God, sometimes you paid, okay, maybe it's not a lot of money, like 20 or 30 bucks.
Yeah.
Oh, he's back. Good. Hey, George, we've got just under 2 minutes to go. If you can still hear me. I was going to ask you about the stream, because
for me, I just went offline just then. My bad.
Yeah. All good. It sometimes can be a really frustrating experience when you purchase a stream and they stuff up. Can you talk to us in about a minute and a half about that?
So the stream we have, so we were streaming on Facebook for our first two events. And what we noticed was like it was just really difficult streaming on Facebook. And then our third event we went on another platform, the stream has been really good. There's been great response from the stream. Obviously, there was always be like a 1 or 2% of people that do face like streaming issues and stuff like that. If that is the case, we do try like and see if we can help them. Obviously, in the night and the heat of things, sometimes our response time might not be as quick. But you know, we do try and respond to everyone later on, and if it's justifiable, we do. You know, we can offer them a refund as well if the stream wasn't working.
It's not an afterthought for you. You know, that's important. That's Kim and I are both fans of a good quality stream. You know,
absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think it's like it's weird because I'm not a production guy, but now I think I sort of am.
Yeah,
it's funny how full show, but.
We got to wrap this up because we have less than 1 minute, but I just from the bottom of my heart, you're amazing. What you're doing is amazing for the scene. Kim, let's close the show.
Thank you so much. You're such a busy man. Thank you for giving up your time. We'll have this out in a couple of weeks. If you could share it,
that would be
amazing. We want the Perth WA scene to grow, and we are all over Australia. So check out Battleground, check out Combat Bags, and yeah.